Anybody have a selection?
75?
So number 75. Let's have the ladies sing the second verse of this song.
Oh,
Good evening, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a real privilege to be here as a student for Bethel Bible School of 2015. This is not my first year, and I think I look forward to it more because I know a little bit what we're getting into. But tonight I'd like to talk just a little bit about being a blessing. We heard a little bit about that this morning. We also heard that each of us have a selfish nature. That is our bent. That is the way that we are as humans. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings 20. Second Kings 20, verse 12. There's an interesting story here that brings out a little bit of our selfish nature. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Now to me that sounds like he was maybe just a little proud of what he had and certainly didn't mind showing it to these visitors. But to me it would speak of maybe just a little bit of pride in that. Then in verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue forth from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? To me, that looks like a very short, short-sighted take on what Isaiah said. He said, you know, isn't it good enough if there's peace and truth in my days? Past that, it doesn't make me any difference anyway. That tends to be our bent. That tends to be the way that we humans think. Tends to be the way I think. But if we're going to be a blessing to others, I think we need to think differently than that. We need to refocus that. We need to die to ourselves and deny ourselves and focus that energy that is generally spent on promoting ourselves to serving Christ and serving others. Now, maybe a little more directly to us as Bible school students, how can we be a blessing here these 3 weeks? Two requirements that I come up with for being a blessing are obedience and, as we heard this morning, love. Obedience to Bible school guidelines becomes an issue of integrity for us as students. We've signed on our applications that we're here and we're going to support what the Bible school has decided on and we're going to follow those guidelines. Now it's a matter of our integrity. Will we do that or not? And also, we need to make use of God's power to love the people that we're working with here the next 3 weeks and to appreciate them even when their views differ from ours. I know a lot of this has been said this morning, but I feel like it was a good enough reminder for me that I needed to hear it again if nobody else did. Let's make it easy for others. Let's not just be looking for what we can get out of Bible school for ourselves, but let's be here for others, make it easy for them, do what we can to make it easy for the faculty. If they don't have to deal with a lot of issues that we cause, that would be great. Let's not be like one student that I heard of at a Bible school one time that said, I don't care if there's more regulations and less privileges next year because of the way I acted, because I'm not going to be there anyway. That's back to our selfish nature. That's back to it's all about me and I don't care what happens after that. In conclusion, may each of us avoid the standard self-centered mindset of Hezekiah and embrace the mindset of others who have made untold sacrifices for the good of others. So, in the next 3 weeks, will you be a blessing? The choice is yours. Let's kneel for prayer, and Nathan Duick, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, John, for sharing with us. I think those observations might have been directed toward the students, but I think they fit all of us, don't they? Let's take your church hymnal and turn to number 445. Number 445.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Everlasting arms, what a blessed earth, what a peace is mine on the everlasting arms. Lead on Jesus, save and secure from all alarms.
Some of the brethren to lead some songs tonight, so we'll have Myron come up and lead a song and then any testimony or anything he wants to give with that. Then after that, we'll have the children come up front here and Brother James Overholt will lead them.
Turn in your Christian hymnal to number 235. The title of this song, Troubled Soul, Thy God is Calling. Often we meet each other and a typical first words are, how are you today? The typical reply is, I'm doing well. And there's always a good way to explain that in the sense that we are doing well in one way or another. But at the same time, there are often things in our lives that are bothering us. I would say in a group this size, it's very likely that there may be some who are not right with God. Either they've never given their heart to the Lord, or possibly we have known God and we've strayed. And God's voice is there. In His mercy and in His love, He's calling, He's pleading, He's bringing little reminders into our life. He wants us back. He doesn't reject us. Sometimes our natural response in working with people, if they just don't get it, it's almost easy to stop giving energy there. But God isn't that way. His Spirit is calling. And this song is one that I recently realized I knew. I don't think I know it very long, but as forgetful as I might be sometimes, why... sometimes I wonder if I did know it longer than I thought. But at any rate, it's to the tune, one of the tunes of Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Probably the less familiar tune of Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. But I recently realized that I know the song and I've just really enjoyed the words, the way they express God's heart of mercy. And then in the last verse, God's heart of rejoicing when we respond to that still small voice. Christian hymnal number 235.
For me, troubled soul, thy heart is calling, softly calling.
Better this than milk and honey. sit there. Find a place to stand here. All right, children. You know, I'm going to need some help if we're going to get very much music out of this group. Let me see. There's someone so small back here, I can hardly see her. Why don't you come up here? How about you? You're supposed to get here pretty stuff. There we go. All right. How many of you are still in school? Oh, good. All right. I want to sing, want you to sing one of your school songs while we're singing the program. We say, yeah, at least one verse. To God be the glory. All right, you know that? Remember that song? All right, I'll give you a pitch here. Let's see if we can sing it. So, to God.
We have a little something different to do here this evening. Last week, after a beautiful breakfast over here, my dear older brother said he needed to talk to me about something, and he kind of stood over there waiting for me to come, see what he needed. And one of the first things he said is, don't tell me no. Okay, so here I am. Perhaps six, seven years ago, I decided to have a history of song of a song for children's class, and he would like to agree to share that again. And I wasn't quite sure how to do that with these children up here, and I didn't want to talk to them with my back turned to you, so I'm going to include you in this. And there's some information that will maybe mean more to you than to them. But all of them and all of you
know the song. The song we're going to talk about is a song, Jesus Loves Me. And in the 40-some years that, plus years that we've been here in Seymour, you know, I believe this song has probably been sung 1,000 times here. And it's of some interest to me what some of the background of this song is. If you'll look in, you can't find the song Jesus Loves Me in the church hymnal. But the same author that wrote this song has a couple of songs in the church hymnal. And so there's a quick biographical sketch back there. And it simply says of Anna Bartlett Warner that she was an American authoress. And maybe gives the years of her life. Well, Anna wrote stories for children. And in one of her stories, I don't know what the story was, she put a poem in there, and that poem was, Jesus Loves Me. Can you imagine a poem like that in a book? That was interesting to me that she would have this as a poem in the book. Now, in our song book, she has two songs that she's written. One of them is One More Day's Work for Jesus, and the other one is We Would See Jesus. Those are both found in your church hymnal. I think we would know the one, perhaps the other one not as well. However, this story that had this song in it, there was another man that loved to hear children sing, and he is known as the father of Sunday school music. His name was William Bradbury. William Bradbury loved to see children sing, and he liked to get a group together as many as 1,000 at a time and have them sing his songs. What's interesting to me about these two people putting this song together is that William Bradbury is asked specifically, the way I recall, I don't know where I got this information, so I'm just trusting my memory this evening. I trust if I make a mistake that the Lord will be gracious to me about that. But he wrote the music for many songs, and many of them, I think about 16 of them in our church hymnal. I could not find a single song where he wrote the words, but he wrote the music. And in Anna Warner's case, it's the other way. She's written some words, but I have no record that she ever wrote the music for any words. So these two together have produced this song. And when he looked at this song, he came up with a melody that seemed to be widely accepted. I don't know how many languages the song Jesus Loves Me is translated in, but perhaps it is one of the wider circulated songs in the globe for the same song. Just for your information, William Bradbury's songs, it reminds me of the Psalms 100 where it says, make a joyful noise, and then unto the Lord. And the next line is, come before his presence with singing. Kind of indicated that the noise and the singing are two separate entities and yet one. So it looks to me like William Bradbury helped supply the noise and other people wrote the words. William Bradbury wrote to a number of songs that you love. Come, Gracious Spirit, Just As I Am, The Solid Rock, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Most of his songs are very singable, and we love them very much. So, children, I'm sure that won't mean too much to you. The other time when I had this, I kind of pushed my little audience to try and remember this, but if you can remember that Anna Bartlett Warner was a lady that wrote the song, Jesus Loves Me. And so I'd like to have you sing that for us tonight yet for our last song, okay? Will you do that for me?
Jesus loves me, this I know.
This yet. You see, we have a lot of future singers coming along there. And I'm glad that the Lord has so provided that I've heard
It said that 99% of people can learn to sing. Two prerequisites would probably be opportunity, and the second one, desire. If you have those two things in your heart tonight, there's a 99 and probably 9/10 percent chance that you can make a singer and be one for Jesus.
Thank you, James, for that, and all you children. You did a wonderful job. Let's sing song number 377 in the church hymnal. After this song, we'll have a ladies' group in the charge of Jessica. She can come up after this. Cast your eye over this song down to the last verse, the last part of the verse. I want you to notice, or actually the whole last verse. I think this is just the crowning phrase in this song, where it says, "The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land." I'd like to put a bird's eye or a short rest after "The Lamb is all the glory." Song number 377. Let's have the men sing the second verse of this song. The men sing the second verse.
Oh, thus says the timeless Dark, dark.
first song we're singing tonight is Take Thou My Hand, O Father, and it talks about Jesus being our friend but also leading us. And the second song is I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, and it talks about living one day at a time and living each day to the fullest, and we can't live in the past or live in the dreams of the future, and that's possible because we do know who holds tomorrow.
I don't know what
Thank you, sisters, for those beautiful songs. I'd like to have you turn to number 633 in the church hymnal. And I'd like to just say a little bit. This is a song of heaven. And I'd like to sing it tonight in the memory of John Yoder. About 5-6 years ago, when just the start of a Bible school like this, we were having him sing. And after we got home that night, I got a phone call. It was John Yoder, and that was the first time that he had missed being part of Bible school. But he said he was listening to us sing over the phone, and he just wanted to call and let me know. So that meant a lot to me. Let's sing number 633.
Shall we gather at the river where
Brother John Bowman to share with us, so we'll have him at this time.
Good evening. Now, the song I had picked out, had my nice little speech about, was sung already, so I had to find me another one. So let's turn to 281. I'm sorry, Christian hymnal, number 281, the Christian hymnal. I guess probably Brother Melvin's message this morning is partly what made this song stand out to me. The wonderful story of love. You know, if it wasn't for that love, there'd just be absolutely no reason for us to be here tonight. And that love is something that, it means a lot more to me than it did a few years ago, but keeps growing on us. And let's sing that song as as if that love is precious, because it is very precious. Let's have y'all stand to sing this song. 281.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announcing, shepherds with wonder receiving. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love.
Thank you, Joe. I think I had your name wrong. At this time, we want to have a men's group in charge of Andy Miller.
While they're coming up, I'll talk about the song. First song we're going to sing, we'll sing three songs tonight. The first one is Prince of Peace. It's a very familiar song from the hymnal. But, you know, it's a prayer, and for that to become a reality in our life, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. And it's easier said than done to submit ourselves to that sometimes. But if we do, then the second song talks about walking in sunlight, all of my journey. And even though, talking about the heavenly sunlight, even though we go through valleys, that sunlight Jesus provides takes us through. And the last song is a song about heaven, talking about not being any more pain and sorrow and children going hungry. There'll be a new wave breaking on the shore.
Struggling heart. walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep end. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never shall fail. Heavenly song, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight above. Heavenly song, heavenly song, heavenly song, heavenly light, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Someday a bright new wave will break up on the shore, and there will be no sickness, no more crying, no more war, and little children never will grow hungry anymore.
Anybody have a selection?
505.
405. In the last verse of this song, the volunteer choir will come forward. And after that, we will turn the time over to one of the ministers. Thank you all so much for coming tonight. I trust you have been blessed, as I have. Song number 505. By memory, the Lord is my light and my salvation. This song has been a favorite of mine for, I don't know when it started, probably when I was in school. I love the confidence in this song. And the second song I'd like to sing is entitled Fierce Rage the Tempest. And this song is an attempt to describe the scene on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus calmed the storm. As I said, it's an attempt. But you know, those they were in a terrible predicament. And what lesson is there for that in us? Jesus said to the storm, as well as to us now, he said, "Peace, be still." And the last song we have to sing is just another song of praise. Oh, love the Lord.
Of whom shall I be afraid? Though in heaven
Establish, 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 establish,